Just the other day, he spoke to Mother Mukhya, and we decided to come here. And anyway, it's so nice to see you all. Hare Krishna, Shesha Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol Pushkar Prabhu. So nice to see you all. Ranjit Prabhu. So now you are settled here, yeah? In Alachpura. Huh? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Actually, that's true. I was remembering him from North Carolina, actually. He was there also for quite some time. Yeah. Of course, our relationship goes back to Delhi in the early 80s. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Mother Mukhya, thank you so much for making this wonderful arrangement for us. Vrindavan Shri, how are you? When is Vishwambar coming back?
Monday morning.
Okay. And before coming here, we were very nicely fed by Mother Gaura Bhakti. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. A reading from Bhagavad Gita, text 4, I'm sorry, chapter 4, text 9. This chapter is entitled as Transcendental Knowledge. Janma,
karma,
chame,
divyam,
evam,
yo
veti
tattvatah
tvakta
dehang
punarjanma
naiti
mameti
sorjuna.
Janma karma chame divyam
evam
yo veti tattvatah
tvakta
dehaṁ punarjanma
naiti
māmeti
svarjuna.
Janma karma chame
divyam
evam yo vetti tattvatah tvakta dehaṁ punarjanma
naiti
māmeti
sorjuna.
Janma karma chame divyam
evam
yo vetti tattvatah tvakta dehaṁ punarjanma
naiti
māmeti sorjuna. Janma karma chame divyam
evam
yo vetti tattvatah
tvakta
dehaṁ punarjanma
naiti
māmeti sorjuna. Janma karma chame divyam
evam
yaveti tattvatah
takta
deham punarjanma
naiti
mameti sorjuna.
Tattvatah. Takta deham punarjanma. Naiti mameti sorga.
Matajis.
Janma karma chame divyam. Evam yo vetti tattvatah. Takta deham punarjanma. Naiti mameti sorjana. Janma karma chame divyam. Evam yo vetti tattvatah. Takta deham punarjanma. Naiti mameti sorjana.
Janma, birth. Karma, work. Cha, also. Me, of mine. Divyam, transcendental. Evam, like this. Yaha, one, anyone who. Veti, knows. Tattvatah, in reality. Takta, leaving aside, deham, this body, punaha, again, janma, birth, na, never, eti, does attain, mam, unto me, eti, does attain, saha, he, Arjuna, O Arjuna. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's descent from His transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage. And therefore, he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial. And there is a risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations. Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Ananta Rupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, there is still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction. Although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers, as stated in the Vedas, Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Deva Nitta Lilanu Rakto, Bhakta Vyapi Ridi Antaratma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with his unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who does not waste time in philosophical speculations, attain the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tattvam Asi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, "You are the same Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead," is certainly liberated instantly. And consequently, his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection, and this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion. Tameva vidittati mrittum eti nanna pantha vidyaye ayanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. This is from Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.8. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation, simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey or by interpreting Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Janma karma chame dibyam evam jovetti tattvataha tvakta deham punarjanma naiti mameti suarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So, at the beginning of the fourth chapter, after speaking the Karma Yoga in the third chapter, Krishna mentioned that he gave this knowledge to Vivashvan first. And then Vivashvan gave it to his son, Manu. Then Manu gave it to his son, Ikshaku. And in this way, through a chain of disciplic succession, this knowledge was flowing through the saintly kings, Imam Rajarshayo Vidu. But Sakaleneha Mahata, in course of time, in course of great influence of time, Sakaleneha Mahata, this yoga, this transcendental knowledge, was lost. Yoga Nashta became defective, Nashta. So when Krishna told that to Arjuna, Arjuna's natural response was that, "Krishna, you are born just the other day, and Vivashan was born so many millions of years ago. Then how can I possibly understand that you spoke this knowledge to Vivashvan? Aparang bhavato janma, parang janma vivasyata, katham etad vijaniyam tamadu praktavaniti." Aparang bhavato janma, you are born just the other day. Arjuna and Krishna are of the same age. And parang janma vivasyata, Vivashvan was born so many years ago. So katham etad bijaniyam, how can I possibly understand tamadu praktavaniti, that you spoke this knowledge to Vibhishan? Here we have to understand that Arjuna's relationship with Krishna is that of cousins. They're cousins. And because they're of the same age, they're very intimate friends. And so when Krishna told him that I gave this knowledge to Vibhishan, Arjuna's natural response was, how can I understand that you spoke this knowledge? So in this way we can see that in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins to reveal his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, to Arjuna, he is just his cousin and friend. And then Krishna makes the point, Bohuni me byatitani janmani tavacha Arjuna. Bohuni, many, many times, Krishna, Arjuna, both you and I have taken birth. Bohuni me byatitani janmani. Many, many times, both you and I have taken birth. But tani ahang veda sarvani natang vetho parantapa. About those births, I remember everything, whereas you do not remember anything. Not one betha. You do not remember anything about those words. So here is the difference between Krishna and Arjuna. Here is the difference between a living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entity, although he takes birth many, many times, he takes his birth, but he doesn't remember about his previous births in most of the cases, in most of the times. What you speak of previous birth, we often don't even remember what you did yesterday. So that is our situation, whereas Krishna, tani ahang beda sarvani. About all those births, I remember everything, sarvani, everything. Krishna never forgets. Krishna remembers everything. And in this way, Krishna began to reveal his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he points out that although he is eternal and unborn, like he takes his birth, but what is his birth? His birth is by taking advantage of his yogamaya, Krishna appears in this material nature. That Krishna is telling, ajopi san abhayatma, aja. I am unborn. Aja. Ja means birth. A means not. One who does not take birth. Although in the previous verse, Krishna says that aite bohuni me batitani janmani tava charjuna. Both you and I have taken birth many, many times before. But now Krishna is saying that I am unborn. Aja. Although I am unborn, aja opi son. Abhayatma, Bhutanam Isharopi San. I am the controller of all the living entities. But Prakritim Sham Adhishthaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. By taking advantage of my Prakriti, of my internal potency, I manifest myself. Krishna doesn't take birth, Krishna manifests himself. Sometimes he takes birth, sometimes he comes directly from the spiritual sky. Sometimes he appears from the nostril of Brahma, Varahadev. Brahma sneezed and the Lord appeared. Sometimes he appears from a pillar. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj that Where is your Hari? And Prahlad Maharaj's response was, he was everywhere. He's everywhere. And he asked, is he in this pillar? He said, yes, he's in the pillar also. And immediately Hiranyakashipu charged and he broke the pillar just with his fist. So powerful. But then the Lord manifested from the pillar. So this is Krishna's inconceivable spiritual potency. He can manifest himself in whichever way he wants. Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. Atma Mayaya means through my internal potency, through my Jogamaya. That is how Krishna appears. Ajopi San Abhayatma Bhutanam Isharopi San. So in this way Krishna is establishing his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport of the 9th verse that we discussed. In the 6th verse of this chapter, Krishna already established his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he mentions why he comes. Why does Krishna come to this material nature? Paritrana sadhuna. The reason, the purpose of his coming is to protect the saintly personalities. Paritranaya sadhunam. And in this respect, Prabhupada pointed out that Krishna specifically comes to have his loving exchange with his devotees. Sadhunam means devotees. Saintly personalities means devotees. Mahatmanas tu man partha. Daiving Prakriti Mashrita. Mahatma, great personality, saintly personality means one who has taken shelter of Krishna's internal potency. That means one who is a devotee of Krishna. And Krishna comes to give his personal association to his devotees. And he performs his pastimes in this way. Apparently, with some reason he goes to the forest where the saintly people are. Like Lord Ramchandra, apparently he was banished to go to the forest for 14 years. But why did he go to the forest? Because his devotees are in the forest. So to give them his association, he went to the forest. And to paritranaya sadhunam, and protect them. And vinashaya cha duskritam, to annihilate the demons. So that is why Krishna comes here. And out of these two reasons, Prabhupada pointed out that to associate with the devotees is the main reason why Krishna comes. Devotees are hankering for Krishna's association and Krishna comes to give them his association and inspire them, increase their love for him. Krishna comes. And vinashaya cha duskritam, to annihilate the miscreants. Who are the miscreants? Those who trouble the saintly people, they are the miscreants. Those who do not abide by the laws given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are the miscreants. The atheists, the demons, they are the miscreants. So in this way, Krishna is revealing the fact why he comes to the material nature. Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya cha duskritam, and dharma sangsthapanarthaya. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Dharma sangsthapanarthaya. Dharma means law given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the king gives the law, gives the law and everyone is expected to abide by those laws. And when somebody breaks those laws, he commits a crime. And then he is subjected to punishment. Similarly, in the material nature, the King of Kings, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has given His laws. And those laws are dharma. Religion means laws given by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, dharmam tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. Shakshad, personally given by the Lord Himself. That is dharma. So, dharma sangsthapanarthaya. When there is an increase of irreligiosity and decline of religious principles, then He comes. To re-establish the principle of religion. And now Krishna is actually saying that what is... When one recognizes Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when one recognizes that Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities are transcendental, then He becomes free from material bondage. He becomes liberated. Liberation, in one hand, is extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult. Like for a person who has got life imprisonment in a prison house, it's impossible for him to come out. He can get out of the prison in two ways. He can dig a tunnel out of the prison and escape. But that's very arduous, very difficult, and that's not actually freedom from the imprisonment. Because the police will be after him. He won't be able to be peaceful. And when the police will catch him, then his sentence will become even more severe. So trying to get out of the material nature by means of their own endeavor is something like trying to escape from the prison by digging a tunnel out of the prison. But there is another way of getting out of the prison. Recognize the mistake, recognize the crime that one has committed, and appeal to the king and beg for forgiveness. Please forgive me. I made a mistake and I promise that I'll never commit such a mistake. Then the king can free him. So that is the real way of getting out of this imprisonment of this material nature. Living entities are imprisoned in the material nature, and the way to get out of this prison house is very simple in a way. Especially when Krishna is making this arrangement. Krishna Himself is announcing it. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshayishyami vasucha. Sarva papibhyo. The crime is actually pap, sinful activities. That is our crime. And the real crime is our defiance to Krishna. And Krishna says, just surrender unto me and you'll become free from all your sinful reactions. So, although it is very difficult to get out of the material nature and go back to the spiritual world, but by Krishna's divine arrangement, that has become very, very easy. As Krishna is pointing out here, janma karma chame dibhyam. My janma, my birth, my karma, my activities, my pastimes are dibhyam, divine, transcendental. Evam javekti tattvataha, one who knows that in reality, tattvataha. When one recognizes that with full conviction, with proper understanding, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is not an ordinary living entity. He is not a historical personality or a character created by man's imagination. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he comes to the material nature. Although he doesn't need to come to the material nature, but he comes out of his love and compassion for the living entities, to show the living entities the way out of this material nature. Krishna comes here and performs his wonderful activities simply to remind us about his wonderful situation, how merciful, how kind, and how capable he is. Take shelter of him, he'll give all protection. And he shows that, he demonstrates that through his pastimes. In Vrindavan, there are difficulties. Time and time again, there are so many difficulties. But when they face those difficulties, then what they do? They simply take shelter of Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, please protect us. And immediately Krishna comes. Some demons come, the devotees become afraid, they run to Krishna. That Krishna, what to do now? Krishna says, don't worry. And he tightens up his belt and faces the demon. And he kills the demon. Sometimes there is a forest fire. And it was a very terrible kind of forest fire. It came from all sides. They found themselves all of a sudden that they're in the middle of a forest fire. The fire is surrounding them from all directions. And it is moving in. And out of fear, they cried out to Krishna, 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 please protect us. Krishna said, just close your eyes. They closed their eyes. And Krishna swallowed the forest fire. When they opened their eyes, they found that there was no fire. Everything has been extinguished. There's no trace of fire. Nothing is burnt, even. Lord Ramchandra, the monkeys were fighting for him. And at the end of the battle, Indra asked Lord Ramchandra, what can I do for you? Ramchandra is playing the role of an ordinary human being, a prince. And so Indra asked him, please tell me, what can I do for you? So Ramchandra said, revive all the monkeys that died in the battle. So Indra says, it's a very difficult job. But if you so desire, by your mercy, that may be possible. And all the monkeys came back to life. So that is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead performs his pastimes. Either they're revived, or even if one gives up his life for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either he gains his life back, or he is transported to the spiritual sky. So that is how Krishna rewards his devotees. Devotees simply want to serve Krishna, and Krishna rewards them in the most wonderful way. And here, in this particular verse, we are just seeing that, how wonderfully Krishna protects his devotees and delivers them from this miserable situation of this material nature. Naiti mameti suvarjuna. After living is, upon leaving the body, he will not take birth again. Which means he goes back to the spiritual sky. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Shesha Prabhu.
Maharaj, thank you very much for your lecture and coming to Alachua.
Thank
you.
It's
nice to see you. Maharaj, you were explaining how Krishna takes advantage of his internal potency to come here. And we can understand that the living entity is also different than this material nature. It's a jiva tattva. But how is the jiva tattva different from the internal potency of Krishna?
Okay. Yeah. The question is, I'm just repeating because they're broadcasting, so they asked me to repeat the question so that they can understand. The Krishna says that the question is from Shesha Prabhu, is that, has it been registered? There's no need to repeat then. Okay, fine. Okay, thank you. You see, there are two considerations. One is the potency or shakti tattva, and the other is the jiva tattva. Like, say, Yoga Maya or Krishna's associates in the spiritual sky, intimate associates, like the gopis of Vrindavan, they are expansions of Srimati Radharani. They are actually Shakti Tattva. And the Shakti again are of three types, Sandhini, Sambit and Ladini. Whereas the Jivas are Tatastha, also Shakti, but they are marginal potency. So they are internal potency and external potency. Material nature is a manifestation of Krishna's external potency, Mahamaya. And the Jivas are in the margin. Margin can be defined as the axis of a graph. This side of the axis is left is minus, and this side of the axis is plus. So the region that is separating these two kingdoms are the marginal potency. And the Jivas have the prerogative to either be, they are marginal because they can either be in internal potency or be in external potency. And whereas the Shaktis are Krishna's own energy, like Jivas are fallible, but the Shakti Tattvas are not fallible. Does it answer the question? Okay, any other question? Yes. Bhadra Prabhu, how are you?
Thank you so much.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Sometime Atma Maya is translated as the external energy of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? Because
not external, internal.
Internal.
Yeah.
But then in the second canto, in the ninth chapter, it is presented as like a external, unless I'm making a mistake.
No, the thing is, you see, both are actually Krishna's potency.
Right.
External and internal. But here, Krishna's appearance in this material nature is an effect or doing of his Yogamaya. But say, Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya, that is external energy. Although it is Mama Maya, actually Mama Maya and Atma Maya means the same. Both are actually Krishna's potency, external and internal. The external potency is the material nature, work of the material nature, whereas internal potency is engaged in his spiritual activities. Now, Krishna is never subjected to Mahamaya. Krishna is always Mayadhish. Okay, thank you. Okay, how are you? Hare Krishna.
You were saying that Krishna appears in so many different incarnations, and sometimes it's easier for me to believe that God can appear out of a pillar or by some mystical potency, and it's harder for me to understand how Krishna can be born from, or Ram, or appear to be in a human form, born from a mother and a father.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, Krishna appears in that way through father and mother as if taking birth, simply to fulfill the desire of his devotees. Some devotees want to have Krishna as their son. And Krishna's business is to fulfill the desire of his devotees. So when, Jai Jatha Mang Prapadante Tang Stathaiva Bhajam Maham. Devotee said, Krishna, I want you to be my son. I want to be your mother. Krishna said, fine. And Krishna makes her go through that experience as if he is taking birth from her womb. And so even if Krishna stays in the womb of the mother, his situation is not like that of a living entity who develops his body in the womb of the mother. When Krishna is in the womb of his mother, still he is in perfect and complete identity. And the demigods came and started to offer prayers to him. The consideration is because his devotees wanted him to be their son, Krishna fulfills their desires. Hare Krishna. Yes? Yeah.
Yes, Maharaj, thank you for coming here.
Thank you.
I was thinking about this the other day. The jiva is eternal, so the jiva is eternal. So Krishna is also eternal. So of course Krishna came first. So I'm sort of trying to understand that,
Okay.
I want to know the chronological order.
It is something, like an example can be given in this respect, in this way. You see, a spark is fire. But it's a minute fire, little fire, tiny fire. And because it's tiny, when it comes out of the fire, it loses its fiery quality. And falling on a heap of ash, which is just next to the fire, it becomes ash. Although it is an inflammable speck of article. And so similarly, jivas, living entities, are very minute. They are qualitatively one with Krishna. But because they are very minute, when they become separated from Krishna, they lose their spiritual qualities. And next to Krishna is, next to Krishna's internal potency is his external potency. And falling in the external potency, material nature, they become materialized. They start to identify themselves, like as we are doing, identifying ourselves with matter, this body, although we are spiritual entities. Now a spark has become fire, the spark has lost its fiery qualities and become ash. If it has to become fire again, the only way is to take it back to fire. Take it back to fire or become connected to fire, it will become fire again. And if it's a consideration of chronology, in the spiritual world there is no, consideration of time in that sense, past, present or future. Eternal means no beginning, no end. So we won't be able to figure out. But actually common sense understanding will be Krishna must have been there first, and then there is a consideration of his parts and parcels. Pushkar Prabhu, you want to say something?
Ekadeshis, this yeah. Agnir,
yeah.
Jyotsna Vistaraniyata, Parashabhavana Shakti, Tatedam Akilam Jagat.
Right.
Just like the fire expanding. Yeah. But as soon as there's fire, there's spark too. Sometimes spark is first, then it makes the fire out of the spark too.
not a spark, a matchbox. Yes, here's a question.
Yes, Maharaj. On a macrocosmic level, we understand that when Krishna, when the rise of a religion, Krishna descends. But can that happen also on the microcosmic level? Like, if one loses his religion, can Krishna come to him and revitalize him?
You see, Krishna is there with the living entities as the super soul. Krishna is present with everyone. Although he is the supreme, but in a micro concept also he is present in the heart of a living entity as a super soul. And it is up to the individual whether he wants to establish his relationship with Krishna. And the moment a living entity wants to establish his relationship with Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. He reciprocates. He reciprocates in so many ways. One of the most common way that Krishna reciprocates when one wants to develop his relationship with Krishna is that he sends his devotees. And by coming in contact with the devotees, they get to know about Krishna and they get to know how to re-establish their relationship with Krishna. So that is how, as a super soul, he is reciprocating from within. And as sending his devotees, he is also reciprocating from without, with every living entity, when he wants to become related to Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, can have a little kirtan. Namo